It's September 24th, 2023. I'm attempting to do book part 10. This is like the third attempt I've had doing this, because the last couple times I tried doing it while I was out walking to save time, and the audio was horrific. So now I'm in the car. Let's see if this works. I left off where I was working at the PX in Berlin. And you should go back and listen to book part 9 if you don't know what I'm talking about. I can't go over everything more than once because it'll bore the people who are on the same page as me. So, Jasmine's father was a full-time student, architecture student, at the TU in Berlin, which is Technical University. And I was the stay-at-home mom. So I was alone with the baby for 12 hours a day, couldn't speak the language, no internet, no cell phone. It made me super, super strong, and I'm grateful for that. However, Jasmine's father wasn't making any money. Again, he was a student, and our rent was hella high. It was 1,500 Deutschmarks, which is a lot for a family that has nobody working. So I started to do odd jobs, like working at the PX, and I was doing Madonna doppelganger shows a couple times a week, and that was 400 Deutschmarks per show. And I didn't have to sing, luckily, but I had to dance and wear the costumes, and I lip-synced to Borderline, Lucky Star, Like a Virgin, Vogue, and so on. Very challenging. I wasn't a Madonna fan whatsoever at that time, but I had to watch the videos over and over again to see what she was doing, how she was dancing. And then I realized how hard it is to fill that woman's shoes. It's nearly impossible. She's, I mean, amazing. Now, not so much, but she was amazing back then. And also, I did start going to concerts. The first one that I remember it was the Ramones. The Ramones came to Berlin and they played at the Eissporthalle, and I brought Jasmine to meet the band, and I have a picture of Joey Ramone holding my daughter, and I'm pretty sure it's the only photograph of Joey Ramone holding a baby. It's really funny. I think Jasmine was like 4 or 5 months old. I'm not at home in front of my concert calendar, so I can't tell you the exact date. But if you Google Ramones Eissporthalle, spelled with an E, E-I-S, Eissporthalle, which is a hockey rink, then you'll know the date. And it was great to see the... I did not bring Jasmine into the concert, by the way. We went to say hi before the show. I went home, put her to bed. Her father watched her, and I went back to the show. So I started to meet local promoters and people backstage, and I would tell them my phone number, which was my home phone number, because remember, no cell phones back then. And I started to get calls like, hey, you know, do you want to come massage this band, and so on. And then I also went to see a band that I personally wanted to meet. They're called Dread Zeppelin, like Dreadlock Dread Zeppelin. And they are one of the most amazing bands ever. They play Led Zeppelin music. The vocalist looks and sings like Elvis. Well, he's a bit chubbier than Elvis. He looks like fat Elvis. He's hysterical. He sings, they do Led Zeppelin music with an Elvis voice with a reggae beat. Telling you, as far as cover band goes, that's the best cover band in the world. I love them. And I wanted to meet them. I wanted to see the show. It was very easy to meet them because I'm American. I speak English. They're American. I went right backstage, talked to them, and there was another American backstage interviewing them with a little tape recorder. His name was Steve Merchinsky. He calls himself Steve Unpronounceable, Steve Merchinsky, a New York Jew, hysterical. And he's like, hey, you're American? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, wait a minute, I'm going through a toll booth. I thought I'm supposed to pay something. He's like, can I interview you? I'm like, about what? He goes, well, I want to get your voice for voiceovers. Can you do voiceovers? I'm like, okay, for what? He goes, commercials. The British, I work for a British radio station. I'm like, okay, you're American and you work for a British radio station. Interesting. He goes, yeah, BFBS, British Forces Broadcasting Services. They would love to hear your accent. He's like, so just talk a little bit into this tape recorder and give me your number. So I spoke into the tape recorder, and then he called me a couple days later and invited me to the British, one of the British military camps in Spandau, which is northern Berlin. So I went to Spandau, and I did a lot of jingles for him for the BFBS, stuff like, I like my breakfast show just like my coffee, steaming hot. So apparently, my jingles were played day and night on the British radio station. And the soldiers, British soldiers that were stationed all over the world, Gibraltar, the UK, Northern Ireland, even Canada, wherever the British soldiers were stationed, they would listen to the BFBS. Because remember, people, this is before the internet. So people were bored and they were hungry for entertainment. So the British apparently loved the American girl saying jingles and wanted more, more, more. And this is hilarious. I didn't, you know what? I never even charged money. I did that shit for free. As usual, doing everything for free. Like I told you, I massaged for free from 83 to 94. So now we're talking like 91. Still doing shit for free. And the Brits wanted to know, who is the voice behind the jingles? So I was called in to do an interview for their little magazine. They have a weekly magazine. And they put a picture of me in there and told a little story about who is the girl that does the jingles. That made everybody go even more crazy. The guys loved my picture. They loved my story. They wanted more, more, more. The wives, not so much. The wives wanted my fucking head on a stick. Okay? Immediately, they hated me. Fuck her! So, I was invited, though, to do kiss-o-grams. Kiss, like you kiss someone on the mouth, kiss-o-grams. Or kiss them on the cheek. Kiss-o-grams. Not a strip-a-gram. Not a strip-a-gram. It's a kiss-a-gram. Where you show up carrying a cake for somebody's birthday or somebody who won a prize or got a promotion. So I was paid to show up wearing like a corset, mini skirt, feather boa, high heels, stockings, and walk into a giant room full of soldiers and officers with some music playing, walk in, da-da-da-da-da, carrying a cake, and they told me who to approach, and I would sit on that person's lap and give them a little kiss on the cheek and pose for photographs, and then I'd leave. I did just that. It took me 5 minutes, and I got paid 175 Deutschmarks cash every time. So I was doing a few kissograms a week, like when Jasmine's father would come home at 8 p.m., after leaving the house at 8 a.m., I would either go do Madonna shows, kissograms, or then I started working at the Irish pub once I was fired from the PX. Hang on, I have to pay a toll here. Hi. Hi. Can I have a receipt, please? A receipt? I don't know why, but I got two tickets.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah. I'm at a toll booth, everybody. So I was fired from the PX. Thank you for the stupidest reasons ever, as you can imagine. So remember I said, okay, I'm in the PX looking like Madonna with my short blonde bob and eyebrows and, you know, I look like Madonna. Really legit during her Blonde Ambition tour. The guys loved it. They made a beeline to the dot from shoes section, the men's athletic shoes. And I got a lot of attention at the PX, and it's a military shop, so they didn't really like it that all these guys were coming to buy athletic shoes. And you know, they liked the money, but they didn't like a giant stream of soldiers coming in every day just to talk to Dot from shoes. And I was wearing tight jeans and a sweater or a skirt, and you know, and the women, the wives, complained every single day about my clothes. And I would get like an announcement on the radio, Dot from shoes, pick up. So I'd pick up the phone. Can you please come to the office? Okay, I'd go to the office. Yeah, the wives are complaining that your jeans are too tight. No more tight jeans. Okay. The wives are complaining that your navel button's showing. Okay. The wives are complaining that you have cleavage. Okay. The wives are complaining that your shirts are too tight. Okay. They fucking would not stop. You know that song, Harper Valley PTA? It was like that. They would not stop harassing me. I think I might have been like, I don't know, 24 at the time. I can't add when I'm driving in the rain. But they were trying to put out my little flame. So then I got hired really quickly at the Irish pub in the Europa Center. And that was horrible because I would go in at like 7 p.m. and stop working at 4 a.m. So all the soldiers would go there. The French soldiers, the British soldiers, the American soldiers. I was making hella good tips, but it was really exhausting. And, you know, I'm a mom. I can't be working till 4 a.m. It was really not good. And I was, sometimes after work, I would hang out with a Swedish girl named Mickey, who was a bad influence because she didn't have a kid or a husband, but she wanted to flirt with soldiers and smoke weed and stuff like that. And yeah, so I kind of got in with the wrong bunch. I mean, the soldiers loved Mickey, like, apparently, way before they met me, they were following Mickey around because she was same age as me, tall, very, very thin, gorgeous, except she had kind of a, like a big nose, but whatever. She was a lingerie model in Sweden. Legs up to here, like stunning, okay? And the funny thing is she would wear brown contacts even though she had a husky blue eyes. I didn't know that until one time she slept over and she took out her contacts. I go, are you fucking kidding me? You have blue eyes and you're wearing brown contacts? Why? She goes, oh, I just didn't want to be typical Swedish. I'm like, that is so dumb. She had husky blue eyes and blonde hair. Wavy, wavy blonde hair. Anyways, so yes, I was still doing the mom thing, but I also started like my own social life because Ben and I were starting to grow apart. You know, he was gone 12 hours a day and sometimes on Saturdays too. And I just needed a break from the house because I was just like mom, 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 mom. And I needed to make money and be ambitious and save the ship from going down because even though Benjamin was a student, there was no money coming in. So I felt obligated to bring home the bacon. So I started working and bringing home the bacon. But with that, I also started my own social life, you know, and yeah, that's not good. That's not good. You're supposed to stay together and do everything together. But we're both very young and he wasn't making any money because he's a student, you know. He didn't sign up for this. All this stuff kind of happened accidentally. So I'm not blaming Ben whatsoever. He's an honest, wonderful person. But I started hanging out with Mickey and smoking weed after work, and this turned me into like a self-centered, obnoxious like teenager, because all those years raising my brother and sister, you know, my mom made me clean and watch my brother and sister from as far back as I can remember. Like my sister was born when I was 7, so I already started at age 8 helping take care of kids. So a lot of my teenage years were cut out, I would say, from like age 12 to 15. I had no freedom. So I don't know. I'm trying to justify me being a fucking obnoxious pothead, and there's no justification for it. I was selfish, and I was still doing my mom role, but as soon as I got a break, I would blow off steam. And when I say smoking weed, I'm talking one hit. One hit is what I consider smoking weed because I get stupid after one hit. Anyhow, I sort of turned Benjamin into a dad figure. Like, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me I can't go out with my friends. If I could go back and change my behavior, I would. But like I said, if I'm born in 67, 77, 87, I mean, I'm like 24, 25, just really, really. I ruined that marriage because of weed. That's why I don't like weed. And I don't suggest people should smoke weed. It makes you apathetic, self-centered, lethargic, lazy. It's not a good drug. Anyhow, so I was doing two roles, mom and Madonna slash waitress slash kissogram, you know. It was really a struggle to keep juggling all these roles and massaging bands, you know. Like I said, I was going backstage massaging just to get in for free and get contacts and spread my number around. I never asked for money at this point. Fucking dumb. And I'm not home, so I'm not in front of my concert list, but trying to remember some of the bands I met in the early 90s in Berlin. Happy Mondays comes to mind. That was fucking fun. I'm telling you, if you listen to their album, Thrills, Chills, and Belly Aches, it's one of my favorite albums in the world. It's so fucking good. It's a different kind of music I've never heard before. Like, I was exposed to a new genre. It was amazing. Greatest album from the UK in the 90s is that album. It's so good. And the lead singer loved me, and they loved the massages, and they asked me to come on tour with them. So I'm like, well, I went to a couple shows around, like went to Hamburg and stuff or whatever. And then they asked me, they told me about their upcoming American tour. And I said, oh, well, I'm going to go home to New Hampshire and visit my mom. Maybe I can see your Boston show. So we met up again in Boston. But, oh yeah, Sean loved me. Okay. Loved me. And I even have some soundboard tapes. Like the sound man, Simon, was like, no, I'm not giving you the tape. Sean Ryder would walk over to Simon and say, give her the fucking tape. And Simon would just give me the nastiest look. But then he'd hand me the tape. So somewhere I have soundboard tapes of the Happy Mondays, and they're delicious. All right. And Sean has mentioned me a couple times on stage. So my mom was watching Jasmine while I hung out with the Happy Mondays, and on the bus, on the tour bus, because we went from city to city in New England together. There was a guy on the bus who was extremely attractive, and he looked very familiar. And I was like, who's, they're like, that's Nathan. We call him Mago. I'm like, oh. I go, he looks familiar. And they all started laughing. They're like, who does he look like? I said, he looks like Paul McCartney. And they were like, bingo. I'm like, what do you mean? They go, his mom is Thelma Pickles. And there was no internet back then, all right? I'm like, who's Thelma Pickles? They're like, you know, she's was first with John Lennon, and then she had a little fling with Paul, and that's how Nathan came about. He's sort of our tour manager. I'm like, oh. So I took a picture of him. I will dig that picture out. I don't have it scanned in because I have millions of photographs, and I can't scan in every photograph, but I will. I have the picture of him. His name's Nathan McGow, and he's Paul McCartney's illegitimate son. He was the tour manager for the Happy Mondays. I don't know if he still is. I doubt it, but he is gorgeous, and he looks identical to Paul McCartney. The same eyebrows, the same lashes, the same eyes, the same face. He even spoke like him, but he had a Mancunian accent rather than a Liverpool accent. I don't know. And also on that bus was a young couple from Manchester, very scruffy looking. I have pictures of them, and I'm like, who are they? And they're like, oh, they get us our candy in each city that we tour. Remember, this is like 91. And so this couple would go out in each town and get the Happy Mondays their candy. A lot of bands did that. And let me tell you, the Happy Mondays, that band did more drugs than any band I've ever seen in my life. And that's saying a lot after hanging out with the Grateful Dead. I'm telling you, the Mondays, they would start their day drinking and weed and do ecstasy and coke and just everything at once. And when I was in America on tour with them on the bus, they would just get up, go to the bathroom, throw up, and sit back down and carry on. They did actually get banned from America for drug use, so their career in America went down the toilet. Unfortunately, I think they were banned for like 10 years, and then they finally got to come back to America and resume. But they partied so hard. I'm surprised any of them are still alive. And if they're listening to this and they're pissed off, all I can say is, you know it's true. You know it's true. Hopefully they're sober now. I actually did see Sean not that long ago, or maybe right before Jasmine was born. They came back to America and I saw them. They played with the Psychedelic Furs, I think. But I took Sean out to do karaoke in Manhattan, like right before Desmond was born. So again, I'm not home in front of my calendar, so I can't tell you the exact dates. But yeah, this was before Desmond was born, so we're talking 13 years ago. So I'm, you know, they still know who I am. I still know who they are. But that was really exciting. My mom watched Jasmine while I did a bit of the U.S. tour with the Mondays back in 91. And I got lots of pictures of them. Crazy, crazy pictures. And I'm going to say cheerio right now because I have to go into the sauna to fix my lungs. If you can hear, my voice is still scratchy and I still sound like Kim Carnes or Joe Cocker. Like, I can't get rid of this annoying cough. And apparently it's asthma at this point. Like, a year ago I got COVID, and thank you, China. Now it's actually, it's still bothering my lungs. It will not stop. I was taking prednisone for 2 weeks and my face blew up like Madonna's, her face looks like right now, like bloated. I look like the Chinese spy balloon. My face is fucking huge from prednisone. All right, so I will never ever take prednisone again. Yes, it did help me stop coughing, and I'm using a machine called a nebulizer, I think, to breathe a few times a day. I suck in this stuff called arbiterol. I'm probably saying it all wrong. I'm a wreck. I can't even talk correctly anymore. So I don't want to keep talking without my calendar in front of me, because I could be saying the wrong dates and stuff, and I don't want that. I'm really anal about chronological order. Can't even fucking talk. So I just want to let you know, this is book part 10, but book part 11 is going to be sweeter and fatter. And maybe even, you know what I might do? I might just put pause right here and resume when I get home in front of my calendar, okay? So this is book part 10. I'm going to carry on. So I just Googled it. They played April 21st, 1991 in Boston, but it's somehow not easy to find online. And then the next day we went to New York together, and that was April 22nd, 1991. Sometimes bands do spontaneous gigs. Like, for example, a couple Saturdays ago, Mr. Bungle played in Montclair, New Jersey at the Wellmont Theater. And nobody heard about it. So the show wasn't sold out because it was a spontaneous show. Sometimes bands need to make extra money when they're on tour. And they'll just do a show just to earn some money. And they don't have time to promote it. So that's probably the case. So it was April 1991. The Mondays played in Boston and New York. Oh, and I just Googled, when was the Happy Mondays Psychedelic Furs concert in New York City? It was 2009, October 9th, 2009. So do pretty good when I'm not in front of the internet and stuff. So yeah, it was 2009, which was one of the best years of my life, 2009. So much great shit happened, and I was physically and mentally more fit than I've ever been. So after that show in 2009, I took Sean Ryder and his tour manager out for karaoke in Manhattan. It was hysterical. Unfortunately, I missed the Psychedelic Furs on stage, but I saw the Mondays, and then we went out, and it was hysterical because Sean sang, well, he did Ring of Fire, and the bartender, I was like, hey, that's Sean Ryder, you know, so maybe you want to give him a free drink. And so the whole bar was watching when Sean got up and did Ring of Fire, and it sucked. And Sean was like laughing through the whole thing because he knew it sucked. He's got a wicked sense of humor, as do most Brits. And he's like, you know what, Dot? He told me after the song, he's like, I never wanted to be a singer. He's like, I wanted to write lyrics and I wanted to sort of write poems and be a poet and stuff. And, you know, I write lyrics, but they made me be their singer. In other words, he didn't want to be the singer of the Happy Mondays. He was kind of pushed into it. So he knows he's not the greatest singer. I like his voice. I think he sings better than Bob Dylan. I love Sean's voice, but he always mocks himself, which is a trait of Brits. They love to take the piss out of themselves, which I love Brits. Okay. Love them. And, So he was like, yeah, that's why I can't sing Ring of Fire, because I'm not a fucking singer. You know, it was hysterical. It was so fun hanging out with Sean again. I haven't seen him since then because I don't think they've come back to America really, but I know that their career has a second, you know, burning. They're like touring all over Europe and they have lots of fans now. And I'm sure they're sober now, otherwise they would be dead. And like I said, you know, me talking about them doing drugs in the 90s is not me tattletaling. It's common knowledge, you know, because they were banned from America for 10 years because of that. So I just wanted to say, out of all the bands I've met in my whole life, that band partied the hardest. So I'm not going to go back and, you know, correct any dates from the beginning of this chapter. I'm just going to carry on with book part 11 when I find the time, hopefully soon. I realize in the car there's very good audio, and right now I'm in my kitchen and Desmond's upstairs, so I can speak without yelling and screaming in the background. So I'm going to get on book part 11 ASAP while I'm on a roll. And yeah, so now I'm going to do it at home so I can stand in my room, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame room here, and it can trigger my memories about stuff in the early 90s in Berlin. Because we got a lot of making up to do here if I'm going to get this book out. So stay tuned. P.S. Even though Sean and I adored each other, I was still married, even though the marriage was definitely falling apart, mostly because of me reliving my teenage years. And also, Sean just had a baby with, I think it was a Brazilian girl. So we adored each other and stuff, but yeah, we couldn't date or anything. We just fancied each other, as the Brits would say. I adore Sean. He's a special person. He has a way of making a woman feel like she's the only woman in the whole world. He's just extremely charming. A lot of people in England make fun of Sean, but he's a gem.